Rand. Now available at Topeka Spur Kenilworth and Golden Feather Spur Vangate Mall.
Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
8 minutes past 7 a.m. this morning. If you've just tuned in and joined us, welcome into it. Good to have you in our company. It is Breakfast Beat, proudly served to you by Topeka Spur Kenilworth Centre. Call them on 021 671 6191. Now, moving along to our next feature for the morning, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council are already preparing for the 2019 Hajj period, with various processes being conducted to ensure prospective Hajjaj know what is required of them. Now, members of Sahuk recently met with key figures of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, discussing the outcomes of Hajj 2018 and plans for Hajj 2019, including matters related to Umrah and repeat visa fees. But joining us online this morning is the National President of Sahuk, Maulana Muhammad Vaid. Assalamu alaikum, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself and the listeners.
Now, Maulana, you know, to start off, can we perhaps ask, you know, what is the purpose of the mission?
Well, the purpose of the mission that goes down to the kingdom is basically to serve as a logistical support to the Hajjaj, and it is a liaison between the department, between the Ministry of Hajj, the Muassasa, the Hajjaj, and the operators.
Now, you know, what factors determine, you know, how many people can go on the mission, and do they get paid?
Well, the primary factor is it depends on the amount of the quota that is stipulated. According to that, a number is stipulated to see that how we can take a team that includes a medical staff that provides primary health care for the Hajjaj as per the dictates of the protocol.
So I think at this point in time, you know, just for clarity purposes, it would be, you know, informative for our listeners to understand, you know, what exactly is the definition of the mission?
Like I said, the primary function of the mission is to provide logistical support to the Hajjaj, and it is a liaison between the different authorities and the operators to facilitate easy movement of the Hajjaj between different points. And also facilitating for primary healthcare services at the different points, that is Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara, as well as when they are stationed in Azizia.
So, can a mission worker perform the Hajj?
Well, as per the code of conduct set out by SAUK, every mission worker that goes through the process of interview and is selected will then enter into a code of conduct with SAUK. And one of the requirements is they must have performed Hajj previously, and we do not allow them to perform Hajj while they're in their service to the Hajjaj during the period on the mission. And the only reason for that is that it does not hamper them in their duties and responsibilities, more so while they are on the Mashayir.
So in terms of, you know, the time on hand, for how long must an applicant be available to actually go on the mission?
Average time is between 5 and 8 weeks. As far as the medical staff is concerned, we would consider them for even a period of 4 weeks, and that could also possibly work on a rotation basis.
So then, you know, why does the mission, you know, consist of field workers as well as doctors and nurses? You know, in terms of the importance of having these people on board as part of the Hajj mission, you know, we know what the obvious answers would be, but, you know, in terms of the importance of having them on the mission and, you know, availing them to the Hajjaj, how important is this?
Well, like we said, as far as the medical staff is concerned, this falls one of the primary requirements from the Ministry of Health that falls under the Ministry of Hajj, that every country is required to provide primary health care for the Hajjaj. And obviously when it comes to the field workers, they will assist in other duties and logistics of trying to ensure that the Hajjaj are comfortable and their needs are taken care of.
In terms of the mission applications that's received by SAHUK, you know, do those that apply go through a screening process?
Yes, the mission applications has closed off yesterday as the 31st of January. There's a set committee, the mission committee that deals with this, and they would go through, they will shortlist and go through a screening process. Those that have been selected would in turn be asked to go through an interview process, and thereafter a selection process will take place. What they do aim for is to try and take at least 80% of mission workers who have been previously on the mission and have past experience, and a complement of approximately 20% new workers that can learn and fit into the system.
If we look at the various faculties, you know, in terms of the medical profession as part of the mission, you know, what are we looking for in terms of doctors, other doctors, pharmacists? What is the makeup of the mission in terms of health and medical?
Well, it will be doctors who are general practitioners and a complement of nursing staff. All of them need to have the necessary documents in place. And they will also go through a process of being registered while they're in the kingdom for that duration of time, as well as the clinics that are set up are also registered with the Ministry of Health. And they will visit the clinics on a regular basis to assess compliance. And to see that the service that's been provided is up to the fulfilled the requirements that have been set out by the Ministry of Health.
If an applicant has been part of a mission in previous years, can they still apply for the current period?
That is possible and most definitely welcome, because obviously it makes our task easier. They are in the know of what is required from them.
In terms of, you know, medical on a general note during the Hajj period, what sort of challenges do arise?
Well, during the season that we are passing in the last many years of extreme heat conditions, dehydration is a factor that continuously recurs, and other matters that come forth that the clinics or the medical staff will see would be the general health conditions of flus, etc. Out of interest, last year, in spite of the quota only being 3,500, we had approximately 12,000 visits to our clinics in total for the entire duration of the Hajj period.
So, you know, for those who are going to hope to embark on the Hajj this year, you know, at the beginning, you know, of course, we know the roadshows take place, a lot of information packs, you know, as well as information is shared with prospective Hajjaj. So in terms of medical, do they have a thorough understanding of should something arise, you know, during the Hajj, exactly what to do, where to go, etc.?
Well, yes, all the necessary information is disseminated to the Hajjaj timelessly as far as the locations of our clinics, what needs to take place. And more so, if there are more specific chronic illnesses, like a patient would require dialysis, that requires them to inform SAUK in advance. So the necessary arrangements could be facilitated in the kingdom.
Malana, should an applicant, you know, that has been process accepted, you know, for the Hajj period, should any challenge on their side arise, either due to illness or, you know, a personal tragedy, are they then relinquished of their duties?
Well, yes, most definitely. Every case will be it will be taken on a case by case basis, and I mean due consideration will be taken as far as what he needs to be alleviated of and for what period of time.
And finally, you know, with regards to the SAUK mission applications yearly, I know these go out. In terms of the response that's received, is it a good response?
Well, alhamdulillah, it is an overwhelming response, which does make it somewhat difficult to go through a screening process of shortlisting and making the selection. But alhamdulillah, over the past many years, we've had a good complement of mission workers who have outdone and have gone through, through the spirit of serving the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have done their best, alhamdulillah.
Malana, finally, for this particular segment with regards to mission applications, you know, is there anything further you wish to include?
Well, nothing much. Unfortunately, the date for applications has closed off yesterday. So, yes, the screening process will now begin therefrom.
And when will applications or those that have applied be notified once they, you know, have been authorized, should we say?
Well, in the forthcoming weeks, this process will unfold. Obviously, it's a national process because we have applicants from all over the country. And if interviews need to be taking place in the different provinces, that also is a process that needs to unfold.
All right. It's 18 minutes after 7. If you've just joined us, we are currently speaking to SAHOG's national president, and that is Maulana Mohammed Vaid, with regards to the upcoming Hajj season. Of course, all the preparations that are underway. We've just covered the SAHOG mission applications, which, as you know and heard, has been closed as of yesterday. We are going to be heading out for an ad break, and when we do return, we'll be speaking with regards to the Hajj registration verification. Do stay tuned.
3FM. Your voice in the morning.
23 minutes after 7 a.m. Welcome back into it. It is Breakfast Beat, proudly served to you by Topeka Spur Kenilworth Center. Call them on 021 671 6191. This morning, we are discussing the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, already, as you know, preparing for the 2019 Hajj period with various processes undergone, you know, and being conducted to ensure prospective Hajjaj know what is required of them for the upcoming Hajj season. So far, we've discussed the SAHOG mission application, which closed as of yesterday. Of course, now we move along to speaking about Hajj registration verification. Of course, joining us online this morning is the national president of SAHOG, and that is Maulana Mohammed Vaid. Maulana, thank you for holding the line and welcome back. Assalamu alaikum. So next up is the Hajj registration verification. And, you know, to ask, what is the difference between the registration list and the accreditation list? I think, you know, it's something that confuses many. So, of course, if we can get some clarity on that.
Well, in the past many months on our website, we had displayed a registration list. The primary focus and objective of displaying this registration list is to give an indication to prospective applicants as to their position in the queue. There is a disclaimer to that list, and that is a dynamic list, that the position is not finite. And the reason that could affect that position in the list is like that of marriage, divorce, disease, death. So these are some factors that could affect the positions in the list. But the primary reason for the displaying of that list was to give an indication to persons that what could their possible position in the queue be, so it could assist them with forward planning. Thereafter, that list is taken off the website and goes through a verification process in preparation for the release of the accreditation list, where people are then informed that they have been accredited for the forthcoming Hajj, and in this specific year would be 1440.
Now, which applicants, you know, are displayed on the registration list, as many don't find their registration? So if your name appears, what does it mean?
Well, the criterion for your name reflecting on that list is that you must have 100 points. In other words, you must be a first-time applicant, and it must be the application for that specific year of 1440. If a person had applied for a forthcoming year, for example, 1442 or 1445, his name would not be in that list, as it is a more current list for the year 1440. And like I said, it only includes persons who are first-timers.
Why is the list verified, Maulana? You know, what does the verification provide?
Well, the verification, it's an external verification process that takes place, and it's basically to authorize any changes that have been made to any application to try and avoid to see that there's very much human interference into the system. So basically, any adaptions that have been made to any applications, like the examples I've cited of marriage, death, either a female that has been registered under 45 requesting a mahram, a group perhaps of applicants that had repeat and first-timers request to be dealing, if there had been payments that have been reconciled. These are all different factors that affect an application. And obviously these changes are made during the course of the year when different appeals are made to the committee. So the external process verifies that all these changes that have been made to the applications are in line with the policy and the framework set out by SAHOG. And once this verification process is complete, then obviously this is in preparation for the release of the accreditation list.
Now, Malina has mentioned, you know, on the SAHOC website, registration website is where you would find the list, you know, but for those that do not have access to the internet, you know, can they go to a SAHOC office and be attended to there?
Most definitely so. They can go or walk into the office, or they can call into the office, and the office will be able to assist with this information. But like I would like just to reiterate that currently the list is off the site because this now is in preparation for the accreditation list. So from this period onwards, right till the entire accreditation is complete, actually per se, till the Hajj period is complete, the registration list will not be available, because now we are going through the accreditation process.
In terms of, you know, the accreditation, but we'll get to that just after 7:30, but just to understand, you know, for those that have been on Hajj previously, during the registration process, you know, is that, or does that come about where it is flagged, you know, that they have been for Hajj previously? And, you know, how many years would have to pass in order for them to be able to register?
Well, the registration is perpetual. A person can register at any time. And yes, the questions are asked, how many previous Hajj have been performed, and what was the date of the last Hajj, because according to that, a person is scored. The question is in regards whether a person will get the opportunity again. Unfortunately, at this current stage in time that we find ourselves with the scarcity of the quota and the ever increase in first-time applications, it is almost impossible for us to even consider giving a repeat an opportunity. The only repeat pilgrim that will get the opportunity is if he poses as a mahram to a first-time female. Other than that, we do not accommodate for giving repeats an opportunity at this time, because the list of first-time applicants is fairly extensive, and it is circa 23,000 applicants in the queue that we have as first-time applications.
All right, Malina, it's just gone 7:30. We'll be heading out for our headlines, and we continue the conversation when we return.
Be a part of our family. Devlin Hyper.
Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So it's just gone 7:31 this morning. You are tuned in to Breakfast Beat, proudly served to you by Topeka Spur Kenilworth Centre. You can call them at 021-671-6191. And if you've just joined us, of course, this morning, we are speaking to the South African Hajj and Umrah Council in terms of preparations in the lead to the Hajj season of 1440. Of course, a very exciting time for many. I'm sure, you know, many are wondering, you know, have they been accredited or not? And we are going to move along and speak about the Hajj accreditation list for this year. But Malina, welcome back. Just before we move along, you know, with the Hajj accreditation list, we were speaking about the SAHOC mission applications. Of course, questions have been coming in, and I think now would be a good time as ever in which to clarify those applicants, you know, in terms of the medical professionals, are they paying for their own tickets, or does SAHOC, you know, foot the bill?
For all the entire mission staff, the expenses are taken care by SAHOC. And as these people are rendering a voluntary service primarily, a stipend is even granted to each mission worker as well as the medical staff for the services that they do render.
All right, so hopefully that answers that question for that particular listener. So we move along now to speaking about the Hajj accreditation list and the big question, you know, what is the South African quota for 2019?
Well, that is a big question that everybody holds in anticipation. Only until the protocol team visits the kingdom, and the team will be departing next week. And once protocol negotiations are finalized, then only will we know the definite quota for the forthcoming Hajj of 1440.
Last year, if we recall, what was the quota? Was it 3,500?
Last year, we enjoyed a quota of 3,500. And that was after much negotiation had taken place. It is left to be seen what is in store for us this year. But maybe I would like to allude to a few aspects that what our Muslim community needs to understand, that what is the reason for this entire quota system being put into place. the authorities have a responsibility that they need to fulfill, and that is hosting the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many different logistics need to be put into place, and preparation for Hajj go well in advance, already begins at the completion of the prior Hajj. And we fit into the picture of this global ummah. We cannot display a sense of entitlement that yes, we want to go and somebody is stopping us or you know, not allowing us this freedom of space to go. Just to give an indication, for the forthcoming Hajj, the country of Indonesia, they have a quota of 221,000.
Wow.
And as far as the data that is available, the waiting list for Indonesia currently is up to 15 years. So there are many other Muslim countries and other countries that have different permutations that allow them or disallow them as far as the quota is concerned. So the authorities have to have some system in place in order to facilitate logistics of transport, housing, security, emergency relief. All these things are necessary as far as the broader logistics of hosting this major event of Hajj. So the community, our community needs to begin to understand and appreciate that we're part of the global ummah, and this is across the board in order to make it easy for logistics to be provided at its optimum.
Now, another burning question, Molina, in the sense that, you know, everybody's asking, when will SAHOK release the accreditation list for 2019?
Yes, we endeavor for all different processes to synchronize. One is namely this external verification process and preparation of the list by itself through all systems of transparency. Secondly is the accreditation of the operators, the Hajj operators that will have their packages ready in time. To fit into that as well is the finalization of the exact quota, the pricing for the 5 days of Hajj that will go through as the negotiations of the protocol team. So we endeavor that all these systems to synchronize, and inshallah by mid-February, going on to the latter part of February, we do endeavor to release the first accreditation list.
Of course, once the accreditation list does come through, you know, when will travel operator packages become available for Hajj to look into?
It's like I've mentioned, we're trying to synchronize the process that it happens almost at the same time. That is what we are trying to work towards, and we are hopeful, inshallah, we will get to that.
Now, an interesting question in the sense that, you know, can applicants request for an earlier accreditation based on illness? I would think this is with regards to terminal illnesses.
Well, unfortunately, no. We have obtained amounts of appeals and requests in this regard. And the policy that has been taken by the NGC, that is the National General Council, of which we have 29 member organizations, is that we cannot accede to a request based on illness that a person may be bumped up the queue, as this will be prejudice to others. Just to elucidate further, there are many different permutations and aspects that are taken into consideration when formulating policy. While the natural disposition of a person is that of compassion, is that of leniency, is that of kindness and rahmah, and that is in the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we do have that. But there has to be a policy and a framework within which we operate and which the accreditation process takes place. So in regards to all these different permutations, that is where we come out with the policy that we cannot accede on to bumping somebody up the queue based on illness. And there's a flip side argument to that, and that is the divine injunction. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, that primary condition for the compulsion of Hajj upon a person is that he must have the istita'a. And amongst the explanation of istita'a is that he must be in good health standing to undertake the journey. Yes, if a person is accredited, we will not dissuade him or de-accredit him based on his ill health. That is his own prerogative and his own decision. But on the reverse side, based on illness, it does not give us enough justification to accede to placing the person ahead in the queue where others have also been waiting patiently. So we do have a numerous amount of application appeals in this regard, and again we appeal to the community to understand that there's a broader process that takes place, and unfortunately we do empathize with their situation, we cannot accede to such requests.
Well, you know, I have to ask, in terms of this policy that has been put into place, is there room to review this policy in the sense that when we speak about terminal illnesses, we'll take an example of cancer, for instance. Say doctor says today, you know what, you have cancer, you have the next 4 or 5 months, 6 months max to live. But right now, you know, you feel like you're doing pretty okay. In the next few months, you'll be fine. You would like to go on your Hajj. You've been in the list, or you've registered previously. You've been on that list. You know, will that still not be considered?
Well, as far as policy is reviewed on an ongoing basis and will continue to be reviewed. But as the policy stands, yes, like you said, terminal illness, but we gave the explanation of the divine injunction. So how do we quantify the two? It makes it a very difficult situation. Obviously, then we have a more difficult task. We need to then appoint specific doctors to give specific reports. How is that scrutinized? What would be regarded as a terminal illness? What wouldn't? So we endeavor to strive to work towards a fair and a just process, and that process is that applications are accredited based on date and time priority in a queuing system, and that is the formula that is used currently, and it is a fair and just process that takes place. Yes, nobody can foresee what's going to happen. Even a person who's hale and hearty, he might not foresee his application going through and the day for him to perform Hajj. And that is Qaddar Allahu Ma Sha, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds, and Allah knows all destiny. But yes, I believe very firmly that if a person has the intention to go for Hajj, and for whatever reasons, as far as processes that are put into place for justified reasons, his opportunity does not arise, and Allah has the sign that he leaves this world, most definitely he will continue to get the reward of Hajj. So yes, while we do have that fervor and desire that we want to physically present ourselves on the plains of the Mashayir and in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to understand that these conditions that are prevailing is also in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Malana, just very quickly, you know, a quick comment in terms of, you know, those requests that do come through from those that have terminal illnesses, you know, what sort of number is it?
I must say it's fairly extensive, and
all
it
right.
goes into the yes, it is fairly extensive. If we look over the entire course of the year, it could be quite accumulative, but it's not that it's not read. It's not that it just shun away.
Mm.
We endeavor to reply to every such correspondence, and if it requires more attention, it is discussed by the National Hajj Accreditation Committee before a ruling is given in this regard.
Okay, final question for the segment before we head for an ad break, Malana, is with regards to the amount of cancellations that SAHOG receives. We understand that it is quite a large amount. How do you deal with this?
Yes, this is a question also frequently asked, that you have so many cancellations, why can't you consider my appeal that I'm also waiting for so long? Cancellations is simple. Cancellations or deferrals are filled by next in the queue. Yes, while it does become very tedious, like I alluded to, the list of first-time applications is quite extensive, so we are able to fill that. What prospective applicants need to be wary of is that when you are accredited, you are in that stipulated period of time, you either have the option of accepting your accreditation or deferring the accreditation. If a person does not do, he neither accepts the accreditation nor defers it, SAUK has the right to cancel that application with a demerit of 30 points. Yes, people delay in accepting the accreditation and even would pass the deadlines. Not only does it put strain on the process, you are causing prejudice to the person who is next in the queue, because as the time frame comes closer to Hajj, And at a very late stage, we give the accreditation to the next in the queue. The prejudice is that for him to put his logistics into place, for him to make his decision, becomes very difficult. So let us be. Let us again understand why these processes are there. Let us be able to respect them, adhere to them, and comply. Because this is for the ease of one and all.
All right. 7:44 is where we're at. We'll head out for an ad break, and when we get back, we continue the conversation.
Breakfast Beats on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
7:48 is where we're at, and if you just joined us, welcome into it. Breakfast Beat, proudly served to you by Topeka Spur Kenilworth Centre. Call them on 021-671-6191. This morning, we do have online the National President of Sahuk, Mulana Muhammad Vaid, speaking to us with regards to preparation for the upcoming Hajj season. We are pressed for time this morning, and just having a look, the clock is ticking. But Mulana, welcome back, and if we could just get into the conversation with regards to Durko very briefly, in understanding what is the significance in terms of meeting with Durko, and how often does Sahuk engage with Durko as well as the consulate in Jeddah?
Yes, Durko is the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, previously known as the Department of Foreign Affairs. They were very instrumental in the inception of the formulation of Sahuk at the very beginning days, and they provide a very a great supportive role to Sahuk and its operations, and we have a great interrelationship between ourselves. And as you've mentioned, the Consul General in Jeddah, who falls directly under Durko, during the course of the year, we're in constant contact and liaison as far as the needs and logistics that need to be put into place. And during the course of the protocol visits, the Consul General's office is in attendance to most of the official meetings that take place during the protocol trip.
So then we can move along to asking, you know, what is the protocol visit all about, and why does Sahuk need to visit the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and of course, what happens, you know, during the protocol visit?
Well, Sahuk receives a direct invitation from the Ministry of Hajj for this protocol visit, and meetings take place with the Ministry of Hajj per se, as well as all the affiliate departments like the Muassasa, Adillah, Naqaba, etc. And this is all in preparation for the forthcoming Hajj. One is there's a reflection on the previous Hajj as to any outstanding matters, and if there's any rulings or policies that they would like to share or enforce going forward for the forthcoming Hajj, that is tabled. In addition to that, all other negotiations or requests on behalf of the South African community, Sahuk will also table. They do listen to our requests. Deliberations do take place. Negotiations also take place on the pricing, of the 5 days of Hajj as far as the camps are concerned. And all these agreements are finalized, and the agreements and the protocols are signed off. And that forms the basis for which Sahuk will interact and deliver for the forthcoming Hajj.
And also, you know, in terms of the meetings, you know, do any of the top-end managers from Durko or the Saudi embassy attend these meetings in terms of representatives?
Excuse me, I didn't hear the question. There was a bit of a break in the transmission.
Well, I say in terms of the meetings that do take place with Durko as well as the Saudi embassy, you know, are there top-end representatives that attend these meetings?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, that as far as the Consul General's office, he's in attendance with us on most of the meetings, and he falls directly under the office of Durko.
All right. Moving along now to the Sahuk Hajj roadshows. You know, when is the Sahuk roadshows, or when are they, and in which provinces do you have these roadshows coming up for 2019?
Well, the roadshows that are set out and we request prospective Hajjahs to attend, the first roadshow will be on the 16th of February. That will take place in Gauteng. The second roadshow will be on the 17th of February in the KZN region. And as far as Cape, it will be on the 23rd of February, and PE is on the 24th of February. Details have been circulated via social media as to the venues and times. And the roadshow, this will be the first roadshow where issues will be discussed and information will be disseminated in regards to the process of accreditation, what is required as far as selecting an operator, contracting with an operator, and adhering to processes timelessly. And a later date will be circularized for a second roadshow where more specific information will be given in regards to the mission and what is required from Hajjaj during the time of Hajj per se, the facilitation of the clinics, logistics, etc. So that date will be circularized at a later stage.
All right. In terms of the roadshows, you know, is it once off per province or does it happen a few times?
Like I said, we've divided it. There's two roadshows per province.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first roadshow that is more general. And the second roadshow is more specific to the journey of Hajj and the logistics that will be provided by Sahel.
Malan, now we've received lots of questions coming through on our SMS and WhatsApp lines, and I do want to get through a few. We have about 2 or 3 minutes. So just to ask a question coming in, Salam, I would like to know from Mulana, I performed my Hajj in 2016. In that time, my mom passed on. What are the chances of me performing her Hajj? Also in terms of, you know, if someone passes away that has been on the list, you know, can their Hajj be performed by a child or a spouse?
Yes, basically the questioner is inquiring regarding what is termed as Hajj Badal. Is the list of first-time applications is so extensive, we do not allow for Hajj Badal at this stage.
Okay. Another message coming through. If someone is unable to go and Hajj this year, can you take another person in that place?
No, unfortunately not. We do not swap places between persons of accreditation. Yes, but the person who is not able to go, what is required from that applicant is to defer his accreditation to a forthcoming year. He will still retain his position in the queue, but obviously he will be rolled over to a year of his choice in the future.
And just if Mulana could reiterate, I see this message coming through from quite a few messages in terms of, you know, how long before Hujjaj will be notified if they have been accredited.
Well, we endeavour to release the first accreditation list mid-February, inshallah.
Right, so well, Muhammad Vaid, we endeavour to have you on for a further discussion, you know, once the accreditation list is made available. But shukran for your time this morning. It is greatly appreciated.
Wa alaikum
salam wa rahmatullah. And that was the national president of Sahuk, Maulana Muhammad Vaid.